President of Representatives Copeland, Boucher, Bernard, Furness, Davidson, Ellis, and Donnelly. And the first matter before us is the committee substitute for House Bill 299, Labor and Commerce. The new committee substitute draft is in your packets. There's one little change that I just made on my own prerogative here, gentlemen, after the last meeting that you can overrule if you wish. And that was the department make a recommendation that there be a prohibition of selling pull tabs to people under 19 years of age, and that there wasn't currently a prohibition on that. I went ahead and incorporated that in the committee substitute. If anybody wants to take it out, they could do so by motion at this time.
Maybe there's a Representative Furness? Discussion on it. Let's see, a person cannot drink at age 19.
Right.
And it must be 21. Where are these things most normally sold? Are they in the bars, or are they in bingo halls?
They're sold, my understanding, there is some sales taking place in bars today.
Right.
They're very prevalent in bingo halls. They are being sold in bingo halls. Is there a prohibition on bingo?
Yes, there's two. You can't play bingo unless you're 19 or older, and you're not allowed to play bingo where alcohol is being served.
But you can play if you're 19.
Right.
You can play if you're 19, although you can't. Bingo does not occur where alcohol is sold. This bill would just say you can't purchase a pull tab unless you're over 19, but it does
unless
not.
Unless you're over 19.
Unless you're 19 or older, excuse me.
Yeah. So it would be bringing pull tabs in line with the bingo prohibition on under 19 years of age.
And they're currently selling them in bingo parlors now?
Yes.
And quick stops.
All over.
Maybe one additional question, Mr. Chairman. What's the use of the proceeds generated by the pull tabs? Are they going to a particular organization? Somehow I'm lost here as to how we got into the pull tab thing.
Okay. There's a lot of nuances to the question you just asked. It's not as simple as that. The pull tabs are factored into the bingo operation, from my understanding. And so that if you had an operator, say like the American Legion, they may have a gaming permit, and they'll put a jar of pull tabs out on the bar counter there, maybe in their place, and the proceeds from those pull tabs will go to the American Legion because they're the operator and owner of the permit. But there are cases in the bingo parlors where there's pull tabs set out there where they operate different nights on different permits. Now, I'd be curious to ask Mr. Gravo, his expertise in this industry, whether each one of those series of pull tabs is designated to a particular charity or whether the proceeds from that night go to a particular charity. Mr. Gravo,
my understanding is the series is dedicated to a charity.
Okay. So you can see that's similar to where they operate them themselves. So the proceeds from that particular series would be dedicated to that particular charity. The Department of Revenue, is that conform with your thinking too, Mr. Cattle?
Yes, it does.
Your understanding? Okay.
And I don't have that objection, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Dudley, it may be, in case you, each of you have subsequent requests or information requests from your constituents, this summer there was some concern in Anchorage and several youth organizations called our office to make sure that we weren't going to do anything that would prohibit young people from being able to purchase lottery or raffle tickets. Because a lot of organizations like your Girl Scouts and Campfire, et cetera, sell lottery and raffles to raise money. So it just, if you get asked that question later, that is still true. This bill does not prohibit the sale of lotteries or raffles to minors, only the sale of pull tabs.
Then the committee substitute is before us, Representative Copeland.
So before the committee substitute is House Bill 299, Labor and Commerce.
Okay.
Warcraft 509, 470.
Is there any objection? Hearing no objection, and the committee substitute is adopted. Was your motion to adopt the committee substitute?
Not as they have it before us.
Right.
Okay. So then, if there are no discussion, I will move that we...
I have one more question before we move on. When the pull tabs are available in bars, of course, minors aren't allowed there to purchase them. When it's a controlled environment in a bingo hall where pull tabs are for sale, but when pull tabs are available through this lottery scheme that's being conducted here in the state of Alaska, when a child walks into a Quick Stop, can the child purchase a pull tab there at the Quick Stop? And does the Department of Revenue have any enforcement to ensure that that doesn't happen? Do we know what's going on across the state?
Mr. Kettle, did you want to address Representative Ellis's question? I believe this legislation... Well, first of all, it'd be illegal for him to sell it to anybody who was not 18 years of age for the first time. So that would put some constraint on it. As to the enforcement ability, did you want to address yourself?
Mr. Chairman, my name is Steve Kettle with the Department of Revenue. This legislation does not give us really any policing authority over a situation where the business is selling on behalf of the permittee its pull tabs. The permittee is going to be required to work with their vendors, whoever they may be, to let them know what the restrictions are for sale, 19 years of age being one of them. I don't think there's going to be a problem with that. Most Quick Stops now that sell alcohol are looking at age requirements, so hopefully they can be trained to look as well here with pull tabs. Imagine they're doing the same thing with cigarettes and smoking tobacco, that kind of thing.
Well, actually, the fact is, Mr. Chairman, they're not. No, they're not. In terms of cigarette and smokeless tobacco, they certainly aren't. That's not the rule across the state, it's the exception. That was a satisfactory answer.
There are further questions to the Department of Revenue? Well, we have the revised committee substitute before us. Representative Copeland?
Well, for the discussion, I move that TS for House Bill 299 Labor Department be drafted with individual representation for the committee.
Mr. Chairman, thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Furness?
I'm...
Okay, there's a motion on the floor and there's discussion on the motion. Representative Furness?
I've not had a chance to read this document, and I guess I'd just like those members to have a chance to do that.
Sure.
To see it and told. I know just one concern. I saw some language the other day that gave me a lot more confidence. Page 2, lines 20, line 22, having to do with regulation, the promulgation about regulation on administrative procedures, etc. I saw some language in a bill that Representative Palmer had that was, in addition to this, that sort of tied down as to where those regulations are supposed to go. And I was thinking about maybe looking at that and maybe amending it to do it. One of my concerns with regulations, maybe, is to say, is they have a tendency to go overboard sometime and go beyond what the legislative intent was. I'm particularly interested in number 2, lines 27, where we're asking them to look at methods of ascertaining net proceeds, the determination of items of expense that may be incurred or paid, and the limitation of the amount of etc. And all that's a fairly broad statement there. We're giving the department a hell of a lot of latitude and come up with some regulations, again, that may be beyond what we within the committee and based upon the various hearings I've heard. And I guess that one particular section just sort of stands out to be a little bit too broad, and we may want to tighten that down a little bit. I guess the net of my question is, if there's no big rush to move it today, we could just take maybe a day to read this and told to see, particularly with the incorporation of the amendments. I'm sorry I missed the last meeting. I may have been here then, but we were another issue, so I've not had a chance to see this document. But if you want to push it, you want to move it, go ahead, but I'd like to maybe hold it to the next meeting.
Yeah, Representative Furness, I apologize. I forgot you weren't at the last meeting. We had a list of some 34 changes we went through one at a time. They were recommended by the department and made, addressed each one of them individually and hammered them out.
This is this right here.
Mr. Gravo, did you have some testimony you want to offer?
Well, I guess just two comments, Mr. Chairman, in terms of the regulations and how they relate to the bill.
This
This is directed to Mr. Sayers.
Okay. Give me a second here, I guess. See what we went through last week.
I'm just looking, Mr. Chairman. It appears that a document, I don't have this document, nor do I have this document here.
Okay. Do you have extra copies of the two documents we worked up? Representative Furness, if I remember right, we talked about this quite a bit at the last meeting, and there were two schools of thoughts. The one you've articulated, the concern about the specificity for what qualifies versus the leaving it general for the department to deal with in regulations, and it's frankly, it's you know, there's pros and cons to both sides. Mr. Grabo, did you want to address
that? Yeah, comment from the industry on that issue, Mr. Chairman. During the whole time you've been working on this bill extremely hard, we've been monitoring it, and we've also been monitoring the attempts by the Department of Revenue to promulgate regulations. And I can assure Representative Furness that we feel comfortable with the bill the way it's written right now. And I can also assure you that we will monitor extremely closely the process whereby the Department of Revenue does promulgate the regulations once the bill is passed. And so from the industry's perspective, we share your concern, but believe me, we're going to watch every step of the way and work with the department every step of the way as they promulgate regulations to enact the legislation. So we feel comfortable with the approach that the committee has taken.
Okay. Let's go with it.
Okay.
I'll still read it.
Sure. Comments. All right, is there further discussion? The motion is to move the bill from committee with individual recommendations. Is there further discussion on the motion? Is there any objection to the motion? Seeing no objection, the motion passes. It moves on to the judiciary. What's the next? We have
lots of discussion over there.
Yeah.
I'm sure you'll see that in the next.
Yeah, right. Go for it. Have any of you had the opportunity to take a look at any of the proposals that I brought before the committee for possible committee legislation, or do you have any suggestions you'd like to see us work on for possible committee legislation? I know Representative Furness and Representative Menard, I talked to them about possibly looking into, and I think I've requested a legal opinion about gray areas of the salary law question. Representative Menard raised, possibly we might be able to do some legislation that deals with that too. So we've got a request in the works on that. Representative Ellis?
I'm still looking at seeking comments from interested parties regarding your proposed changes to the landlord-tenant law.
Okay.
And have not received responses back from all the people that I've spoken to.
All right. Representative Copes?
The Committee on the Cooperative Code of prepared a large mailer to all of the institute corporations, and we also have met with the electric cooperative who have some changes in their code, and we're having a bill amending the electric cooperative distribution code drafted for study based on their decision. So we'll. That would be a different section of law from the corporation code anyway, so we'll bring that to the committee for further consideration and look at that recommendation.
Okay, that's the subcommittee dealing with the cooperative corporations code. Are there any questions of Representative Copeland about the status of that?
The electric cooperative, some difficulty getting a quorum, as some of you may have noted from time to time, mail ballots and things like that.
I missed the issue. What's the issue, Nilo?
Huh?
What is the issue?
Nilo's chairing a subcommittee we have that's working on the cooperative code. It's about yay thick, right?
On the electric code?
Well, in the course of that, the electric cooperative expressed some interest in refinement of their code, although we haven't looked at that separately, and we'll be bringing that back up to you. In fact, I had asked the chairman if you would could be drafted as a member of the subcommittee. We'll get the material, so be forewarned.
Okay,
see you at 3 o'clock?
Yeah, well, we're going to adjourn until 3 o'clock. We're with
Senate Finance.
And we'll have the presentation on workers' compensation.
How long do you anticipate that meeting?
Probably about an hour and a half to 2 hours. Basically, it'll be a telling. They'll be there. There'll be a presentation from John Lewis, who did the first draft of the legislation we introduced. Then Jackie McClintock to answer questions about the comp system in Alaska, and then a presentation from the joint members of the task force, labor management task force.
Who was on the labor management task force?
There were 5 representatives of AFL-CIO and 5 from the Workers' Compensation Committee of Alaska, which is the management aspect. Basically, AFL-CIO was led by Bob Anders with the operating engineers, and the WCCA group was led by Mary Pierce, who's Micah, right? Or the medical insurance. Yeah, director of the medical insurance. Any further matters coming before the committee at this time? Seeing none, meeting's adjourned.
Okay, we've got a question.
Are you saying that Don has not finished choking him?
What was he going to do?
No, because I...
Sounds good.
No, you're going to catch him this afternoon.